Hey, the Jay Thomas Show podcast is coming up, and it's brought to you by Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. I've been a customer now for years. Hot Tub Vinny is hanging out with me. Vinny, I just want to talk real quick here before we get to the Jay Thomas Show podcast. How did you get in this business? How long have you been doing this?
Been doing it for 26 years. It's been in the Fargo area, the store I bought, 47 years with one brand, Hot Springs in Findlay. And long story how I got into it, we'll save that for another day, but I'm glad I'm into it because we're really in the wellness business and every day made better. And that's what we strive for every day, not only for our customers, but for those of us that work there too, because it's beyond the hot tub, it's beyond the sauna, and that's what makes it great.
So many of my listeners have become customers of Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too, and not one of them has ever told me they've had a bad experience. They are so happy that they walked into your showroom and they got, whether it's a hot tub or a sauna or the splash super pool, they are ecstatic over the product and the service that comes with it, the help if you need help, which you really never do need help because these products are so well made, but you're always there for the client. And you're not going to have a bad experience. And you have a man that owns these this business, been doing it for years, and his employees are trained constantly to be able to answer and help you with your issues. I'm telling you, Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too. Walk in that store, you will never regret it. Where are you located?
We're in West Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks.
There you go. Thanks, Hot Tub Vinny.
You're welcome.
All right, now the Jay Thomas Show podcast.
And welcome to the Jay Thomas Show. I am Tim Flacco sitting in for Jay because, as some of you know, he had cruise night last night. And the day after is always declared a national holiday for Jay, so he won't be in today. We'll be joined by a number of guests, including Robbie Loft, the executive director of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library, which is slated to open in just less than 2 weeks now, I believe it is. And then Dr. Kimberly Wallen and Dr. James Brown, the founding executive director of the NDSU Honors Program, which has drawn a lot of buzz both locally and even across the region. Cody Cashman, update on the Red River Valley Fair, which will be going on again starting the 1st of July here. And Sandra Vegan, Red River Valley Garden Tour that benefits Hope Blooms. And our apologies a little bit. The national news sounded a little bit like someone coming out of anesthesia with a little dental work or something like
that.
Yeah,
it's and I apologize for that. I mean, now, obviously, the regular listening public is not going to be aware of any of this stuff that I'm about to talk about. But sometimes when you have digital communications and things via satellite and the delivery is interrupted by severe weather, which you'll notice we're having, it happens to the broadcast. And then the problem is when we're changing shows, people are getting in, getting set up for the broadcast, all this stuff, not anticipating any of that happening. And there are a lot of moving parts to this show. So as a result of that, I would have liked to dump out of that immediately when I noticed it, but I couldn't for a couple of seconds because of some things that were going on. So I appreciate the tens of phone calls we received and everything. I was fully aware it was happening.
Yep.
So,
and for those that aren't aware that are out in western or middle North Dakota, we just had two cells of hail come through.
That's right.
Lasting less than 5 minutes, probably barely. The first one barely covered the ground. The second one is a little less time and a little less, but it was the first one had marble size hail, you know, not the big shooter, but the regular size marble. And then the last one, I would call it a little pea size or just a little bit bigger than that. And then I think we're going to cut over to Russ from KVLY when we can get a hold of him. Again, we're kind of scrambling here to bring you some of those weather updates. Daddy Dean Wysocki is out today, so we are looking at alternative live feeds from other alternative sources here. So we're trying to get that tracked down for our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
In and around the region. And also want to wish, while we're looking for that, is happy early Father's Day to all the fathers and stepfathers and those who are fathers-to-be, I guess even we can count that as something that we want to make sure we have.
Yeah, it's Father's Day weekend.
Yep. And fathers are like the impossible people to shop for. I think when in doubt, the best thing you can do is just spend time with your dad. That's as valuable. I mean, genuine time. Put the cell phone down and just talk to dad. Hear stories. Talk about when you were a kid or when he was a kid and just some of those great stories. But also coming up, I know I see that big weekend over the 4th, and we're going to have a lot of things going on in Western North Dakota, too, with the grand opening of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library. I noted that the North Dakota has deployed 50 National Guard soldiers for 4th of July celebrations all across the state. So I appreciate their help. You know, a lot of times people forget that when you're out there having fun, having a cold one or two, grilling, making brats and burgers, those people are there, you know, pulling extra duty. And so hats off to them for the work that they do.
Absolutely. And, of course, the weather is always brought to you by Moving Team 6. And in the absence of our meteorologist, I'll just take it here because sometimes you got to do stuff on the fly.
There you go.
That's what we can do in this business.
That's what you Forbes guys do. You just run
well,
with it.
Yeah. I mean, winners want the ball. It's all I can say.
There you go.
But we have a severe thunderstorm warning. Now, many of you have already heard this, understand this, but a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Clay County in northwestern Minnesota and east central Cass County in southwestern North Dakota. That is in effect until 2:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time, and at approximately 1:49 p.m. Central Daylight Time, a severe thunderstorm was located over southern Fargo, moving southeast at approximately 30 miles per hour. Potential exists for 60 mile per hour wind gusts and quarter size hail. Now, I believe we saw, at least here in South Fargo at the studios, about pea-size hail, you know, we're only in one portion of the storm, so there is a possibility both north and south that some different conditions may have been occurring, but hail damage always possible with hail like that. Locations included in this potential warning in effect until 2:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time are Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, Dilworth, Horace, Glendon, and Sabin, Minnesota as well. So just bear that in mind. And we will keep an eye on things for you throughout the afternoon because I know you and I discussed this just before going on the air, Tim. There's a possibility of kind of hit or miss showers throughout possibly the rest of this late afternoon, early evening.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. And meanwhile, out west, and you know, in the Tioga or our Tioga listeners, it's all clear. You can be out there golfing probably if you want to today. So, we're going to have a great show with Robbie Loff, executive director of the TR Presidential Library, which is slated to open. You know, a multi-million dollar project that will really be a crown jewel for us here in North Dakota. And Steve, you're on the line. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Tim, Steve Hallstrom here.
Oh,
I'm just checking
Steve.
In. I know you guys are talking about weather stuff here, but Ronnie said call in and give a little update from the soccer match. So I can tell you, though, driving over about a half hour ago, it was we saw a lot of that pea-size hail, and it was raining pretty hard, but that hail was crazy for a little bit. I don't know that it got bigger than that. I heard National Weather Service said potentially quarter-size hail. Didn't see any of that, but a lot of the pea-sized stuff. And nothing to damage the vehicles, really, but it was nasty for a while. I'm sure there's areas that are going to get a lot of rain in a short amount of time. But, hey, we want to talk soccer here for a minute because we're over at the OB Sports Zone hanging out today with a bunch of great Patriots and soccer fans and checking out the game. The U.S. has just gotten on the board about 10 minutes in, and it was a centering pass from – one of the USA guys on the wing, and as he centered it, knocked in off the Australia guy. So it's going to go as an own goal, I think, as they say in soccer. But U.S. has put some good pressure on early on, and they've got a 1-0 lead. So hanging out here with a bunch of people, Jace Denman is here from Bonnie and Friends, too. And Jace, so far so good for Team USA, huh?
Well, it's just kind of like the last game against Paraguay where they got things started with with an own goal, and it's one of those things where you take goals any which way you can get them. So hopefully this keeps the momentum going our way. Otherwise, as you know, they say in the Ted Lasso show, park the bus, just play defense, and just try and get that 1-0 victory. But, hey, either way, if we get a win today, we win the group. We're going on to the round of 32 for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of fun because you've got the there's a few drunk people here already, I can tell. So
we're going to be escorted out. Sure.
Yeah, I think so. Let's hope that the cops aren't waiting outside the venue as we leave. But so what do you think about this soccer thing? I'm not a huge soccer guy, but you put USA on anything and make it sports, and I'm there.
Yeah, pretty much you put USA, your stars and stripes on stuff, people are going to show up and watch. But, you know, I just kind of slowly got into watching soccer. I mean, this is a very good team, very exciting. And if you
it's a beautiful game, you know.
Exactly, it's a beautiful game. Sometimes I don't get why it's beautiful, because sometimes nil-nil, it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, when you see some of these games and some of these matchups, some of these guys scoring, some of the big names, Holland had two goals for Norway. You had Mbappe from France scoring two goals. Then you had the one and only Messi had three goals in his first game. I mean, sometimes it is really fun when they get things happening. You just don't want to be long, drawn-out defensive games where it's nil-nil. You want to see some goals, just like any American sport.
That's right. We like some scoring every once in a while in our games. But, hey, we got one. 1-0 USA. And so, Tim and Ronnie, we're having a great time here. There are some deals going on here. We got $4 taps and $4 specials and lots of great food here at OB Sports Zone, too. So,
and you're dry.
A pretty good crowd of folks hanging out here, and they've had something to cheer for early. So we're having a good time. Back to you guys.
And you guys are inside and dry, even better.
There you go. That's right, inside and dry.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks, Steve. We're going to cut
you
next.
You got it. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good news. USA is up 1-0 after about 10 minutes into the game. And we're going to cut directly to Robbie Loff, who's coming out to us from Western North Dakota, getting ready for the grand opening of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library, where it's dry and beautiful right there.
And, Tim, there's a little bit of a crossover there. I mean, a lot of people may not know this, but or be aware of it, but at certain points later in life, Teddy was a bit of an athlete himself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, early in life too, if you guys can realize, back at Harvard, he was a phenomenal boxer.
That's right.
We all know Harvard, well known for their athletics program, as we all know.
They had one good football team, you know.
Rowing.
You know.
Oh yeah, rowing. Sorry, yes.
You're rowing, but the key to being a good athletics program at Harvard is doing sports that no other schools compete in, like rowing.
Right.
So it's kind of like perhaps being the best bobsledder. You know, feeling very much like we're excited for this grand opening, have incredible momentum going into July 4th. I'm in the Badlands right now, and Medora is bustling. It's exciting time to be out here in the West.
Yeah, I'm sure they have never, ever, ever experienced anything like that. And to be honest, maybe in the entire state of North Dakota, I was just telling someone at coffee yesterday morning that this may be the biggest event in the history of the state of North Dakota. I mean, I can't think of one, you know, aside from when the president signed that we were a state that has such long-lasting consequential impact.
Well, I've said it's the most exciting summer in the Badlands and in North Dakota since when TR first got off the train September 8th, 1883. So, you know, it's our sincerest belief that we are on the world stage telling the greatest American story in the place that was the fulcrum point in the hero's journey. On America's semi-quincentennial, its 250th birthday. It's hard not to feel the romance in this beautiful place. And as TR said, this is where the romance of his life began. And it's going to be a pretty exceptional summer here on the front porch of North Dakota, the place we show off when we bring people to our beautiful state.
Well, I know you've talked about you have a great team put together, but I really want to tell you on behalf of you and your team how much we appreciate, you know, because we will be on the world stage starting with this event and then going for a long, long time because it is here in North Dakota. So hats off to you and your crew, because I know this has to be something that probably keeps you awake at night. You wake up at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock and then finally at 5:30, you go, I'm just going to work. I may as well just go.
What's the old good quote from John McCain is, I've been sleeping like a baby. I wake up every 2 hours crying, but
okay.
The honest truth,
better than I wet the bed.
The honest truth, Tim, is we're pretty calm and pretty excited. We've been working on this project for 11 years.
Yeah.
We have been building toward this moment. This is the crescendo. The infrastructure is in place. The people are hired. The team is excited. And we're all just frankly super honored to have this opportunity to do something so great. There's not always a guarantee you get to be a part of something like this. And so every day we try to start by pinching ourselves and telling us that this is going to be monumental.
Yep.
And as somebody who's actually in the building right now and seeing the grand opening plans, let me tell you, it is far more impactful than you could ever imagine.
Yeah, I just can't imagine the scope and all the balls that are juggling in the air with all the various guests you have coming, the VIPs, the supporters, the locals, everybody. But I got to ask, because everybody's at, will ask you this question, so you're not, it's not going to be a surprise to you. First, do you anticipate that there will be one or more current or past U.S. presidents who will come in for one of the early days here?
Well, Tim, you're cutting out there. I can't quite hear you. let me just say this. It's going to be an incredible time in the Badlands. We are highly anticipating some incredible guests here that are going to be transformational.
Yep.
And I would just stay tuned for some pretty big announcements very soon.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it's part of that, the place to be, you know, not only in North Dakota, but in the United States.
In the world. I would say in the world. The whole world is looking at America for its birthday. And we're the most consequential place telling the greatest story, North Dakota. So I think you're going to have exciting things coming ahead. It's going to be a great place for people who love faith, family, and freedom and celebrating the goodness and the original nature of what our founders intended for this place. And it's going to be a big part of the future of the telling of Freedom 250 and America 250 story, this semi-quincentennial. So I think good things are happening, and we hope to have information for you on that very, very soon.
So when we talk about construction projects and things like punch lists, meaning we got to finish this out, we got to repaint a spot on this wall. How you're basically done with all of that so-called punch list, final walkthroughs, everything's a go. You have your occupancy permit?
Absolutely. We are on pace for a beautiful grand opening July 4th, 2026. People walking through, where tickets are for sale at trlibrary.com. You will be in one of the most culturally impressive cultural institutions on the planet, up there with the Met Museum in New York, with the Louvre in Paris, with many different institutions of its kinds. And it will be the greatest presidential library in America when it's done. That's just my sincere belief as somebody who's been to all of them. So we are certainly punch listing. We are, the paint's a little wet, but let's just say it's going to be dry by July 4th.
Right.
The institution is ready to welcome the world to the Badlands.
Yeah, and I can't imagine the crush of media that will be there. So if people want to, are you going to do also simulcast some of these things on other, like a YouTube platform or Facebook platform, some of the big ceremonial type events?
Absolutely. You're going to be able to find all this information at trlibrary.com, which is this website I hope everybody gets to know pretty well, not only to follow along on a grand opening journey, but also to purchase your tickets and join as a member of the TR Library. Institutions like this are supported through philanthropy.
Yeah.
And for $250 before July 4th and after, you can be a founding benefactor of the library, which will allow you unlimited access to the museum until December 31st of this year, but also for you to be a part of what makes this possible, which is giving us all the infrastructure, giving us all the team that we need to welcome the world to this place. But yes, you'll be able to do that. I also think there's going to be a lot of media nationally covering this.
Right, right.
You can imagine we're going to be on CNN, Fox News, other different groups sharing the incredible story, and you're going to see us live across the world. So I anticipate, let's just say that Medora's moment on the world stage is here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to ask about, Robbie. I was just thinking in the back of my mind, potentially C-SPAN, which, this will be incredibly more entertaining than a congressman or senator giving a, rousing 10-minute speech to an empty room. So,
well, it won't be empty, and we are going to be live on C-SPAN
yes.
for all of our programming. We have 14 incredible panels, anywhere from folks like all the former living governors of North Dakota discussing the legacy and relevance of the Badlands in our story and TR in our ethos as a state, which, as you said, is a couple politicians, but to Doris Kearns Goodwin, perhaps America's preeminent scholar and historian telling the story of TR here, and Candace Millard, who wrote The River of Doubt, my favorite book, perhaps, about TR, his time in the Amazon, two different things like three admirals in discussion of TR's Naval History Legacy, which for me is a fun one to have in Medora, North Dakota, perhaps equidistant from both oceans.
Yeah.
But TR was Assistant Secretary of the Navy, and he wrote the preeminent scholarship work on the War of 1812 and the naval history of that conflict. So let's just say our place will be an intellectual center for important discussions of both the past, the present, and the future. And we're going to really rock that out here in the grand opening with some pretty fantastic programs that will, I hope, inspire people to come back for those things many, many times.
It sounds like it'll be right in my wheelhouse, because I don't know, maybe I'm the only, I can't believe I'd be the only one, but I've been preparing by watching the 2022 documentary on TR on Amazon Prime, and it is fantastic.
Oh, is that the Ken Burns, the Roosevelt?
No. This is the one with somebody playing Roosevelt and showing the different times of his life. Yeah.
Oh, that's a fabulous, incredible one. I would also recommend, also on Amazon, you can get Ken Burns on the Roosevelt. That hits both TR and his family, and then goes on to FDR as well. And there's just an incredible amount of scholarship in media where everybody should be getting their. Well, let's just say this: you can watch that, or you can come knowing very little about TR to our institution and walk away feeling like you have his whole journey. You're going to walk through 8 different chapters of his life, birth to death sequentially, in what we call adventure galleries, not just texts on walls and artifacts under glass, the traditional museum experience, but you're going to get to learn from TR, not just about him. You're going to get to take Kettle Hill as a soldier, as a rough rider yourself. You get the opportunity to go down the River of Doubt with TR and the Amazon in different canoes alongside you with projectors of alligators and piranha around you, and 14-minute video with an actor actually playing TR, who's from the TV show Severance on Apple TV. Let's just say we're going to do a museum a little bit differently. This is going to be a museum that kids drag their parents to, not parents drag their kids to. It's going to be fun, engaging, and world class.
So, Robbie, we're here with Robbie Lopp, the executive director of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library. Now, you know seemingly a vast, vast amounts of information on TR. What can you tell me?
Well,
one
thing? Because I was so cool in high school, Tim.
Yeah. Well, can you tell me one thing, or we can wait till we get back after the break here,
that
surprises people that they didn't know? Because when I've been to presidential libraries, I go, I didn't know Lincoln did this, or I didn't know Herbert Hoover did that. I mean, are there things still, even though he's like on Mount Rushmore, I think there's, so many books written about him that people still don't really realize that he was a part of, or he led something, whether it's, during his time they did the Panama Canal or whatever.
Well, there's infinite amounts of those moments. Every day I learned something more about this person whose life was frankly better than a fiction book. But you mentioned a few things there that I would just point the second layer of those stories that you perhaps don't know. TR, of course, is one of the 4 presidents on Mount Rushmore: Lincoln, Washington, Jefferson, and Roosevelt. Did you know that when TR was selected to be on that mountain, the nation was having a debate about who would be the 4th president? Obviously, Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, consequential individuals that perhaps are not controversial. TR was alive when they picked him to be on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Imagine how much a country must love a current politician to put them on the mountain at that time. That I did not know.
Yeah, I was thinking about the other day, and we're going to go to break here, Robbie, but if they were to pick 4 today, I think we still pick the same 4.
I think you're onto something.
I don't think it changes. I mean, I can't think of anybody since it was started, completed, whatever, that would bump anybody off of there. So I am Tim Flacco, sitting in for Jay on the Jay Thomas Show on 970 WDAY, 93.1 FM, 1100 The Flag, and 92.3 FM, and our friends out in Western North Dakota and Tioga. So we'll be right back after this break with Robbie Loft, the executive director of the TR Presidential Library. And your calls are welcome at 701-293-9000. Oh, Ronnie, love the Doors, love the Doors. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Lighting the intellectual fire.
There you go. I am Tim Flacco, sitting in for Jay today, because as you know, he had cruise night last night, and I think he had to do some cleaning up this morning, helping do garbage, that kind of pick up around. So I'm sure he was busy with that today. Again, if you want to give us a call us to thank the studio line at 701-293-9000. Thanks to our friends at Thor Buildings. And you can email us, thanks to Red Wing Shoes, at studio@wdayradionow.com. Or if you're one of the 12 people that don't have my cell phone number, you can directly text me at Sorry, I just about gave our studio
number.
Maybe
you don't have your Tim.
Yeah.
Twelve people, Tim, that doesn't have your own number.
Yeah, 701-367-5954. There we go.
Yeah, the severe thunderstorm warning, we believe, from the National Weather Service, at least for those listening on AM 1100, the Flag and WDAY, we believe has been allowed to expire as of 2:30 this afternoon, but we'll continue to monitor the situation.
Yeah, and again, just this date in history, in 1910, the first Father's Day was celebrated in Spokane, Washington. And happy Father's Day to you, Robbie Loft, because you know your son, Bobby, who would be Robert Loft the Fourth, I believe, will be celebrating with you. And what a great time it'll be. And hopefully he can come to a couple of the events during the grand opening, because it's such a historic time, and I'm just so excited about it. I mean, it's really a time when the world comes to North Dakota, really for all the right reasons. And
well, that's super kind. That's super kind, Tim. Little Bobby is the happiest little Medora boy he could ever have. And this museum is a place that kids age two can enjoy a lot of the exhibits, have a place to go in the back of the White House and have the coolest McDonald's play area you will ever experience. Let's just say Bobby's got a pretty good life of the Badlands, and his dad's got an even better one because he's here.
Yeah. And maybe this topic, next topic, has been talked about too much and everybody kind of knows it, but I just want to go through again, you know, kind of the funding method for construction and maintenance, because I know the legislature, in one of the, what I consider the smartest moves they ever made in the 100 plus year history of the legislature, set aside money for ongoing operations and maintenance. So they'll have this fund that they use the interest and income off of it to make sure that it continues to be a success 10 years, 20 years, 100 years from now. But kind of just briefly tell us about a couple of the other things as far as how it was the costs were covered.
Absolutely. So it's a, in total, it's a $450 million world-class cultural institution. For a presidential library, that is actually pretty on par with a lot of the other sister institutions. Just for reference, the Obama Presidential Library, which actually opened yesterday, was about $1 billion in total for construction. But this institution is completely privately funded for the construction of it. Just note of that $50 million endowment, we have not used a dollar of those earnings thus far.
Yep.
That is for post-opening, and it is one, I totally agree, it's one of the wisest pieces of investments that the legislature has ever made. I think it has been a good model for other cultural institutions around this area, of Save North Dakota, to say, hey, philanthropy should fund the construction, but we want to make sure that it operates and succeeds post-opening. So that $50 million endowment will be available for us to utilize starting July 4th when we're wide open. Cultural institutions aren't about, you know, just making the highest profit possible. It's also about accessing and servicing the general traveling public and, frankly, increasing and diversifying our economy, bringing more visitors. Tourism is the third largest industry in North Dakota behind energy and agriculture. We would like to continue to grow and expand that for decades to come. And frankly, Medora is our best place to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be an ad campaign by the Medora Foundation that was "Spend a Day in Medora." I thought that was a nice, catchy little song. But frankly, we want people to spend far more than a day in the Badlands. We want you to spend a week here. There's so much to do. The best trails in the world, the Monterey, the Medora musical, fantastic food, and the greatest history to connect to. So we're inviting the world out here, and we're appreciative of the state's incredible investment to make it possible.
So you mentioned about getting tickets yet for how much will it, like a ticket for like a one person cost, or if you have a range for kids versus adults?
Yep. So there's a cheaper ticket for kids, but $26 for the 26th president for an adult. And then if you do a membership for our library, you'll have unlimited admission to the library, and you can bring guests, family members, lots of folks to come and experience the Badlands. The hours of the institution are going to be 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can imagine that this place is going to be wide open for folks who love and experience in the Badlands. But that's a comparable institution.
Yep.
It's our goal to have days where veterans are free and different items as well.
And I have a message here from Rachel, asking about, are there different rates for veterans or seniors?
Yes, for veterans, we're going to have veteran pricing. Seniors, I believe there might be a senior discount. I apologize for not having that on top of my hand. But let's just say we're going to make this as an accessible institution as humanly possible.
Yeah. Well, Robbie, I know you do a lot of homework, so I'm going to ask you a couple unfair questions that's going to make you squirm a little bit. Any estimated prediction range of how many people you'll host in the first 5 days?
We've had a lot of really smart people do a lot of data work on that. But I'll just say, I think Medora is going to be home to tens of thousands of people over July 1st to the 5th.
Yeah.
I just think that's the case. But here's the takeaway, Tim. Medora is open and it can hold those people. We want you to come out. This is a historic moment. As you mentioned, the state invests in this project. So the state citizens invest in this project. Come out and be here for history. When the TR National Park opened in 1949 and then turned into a national park in 1979, there were over 40,000 people that came to just be there when the history happened.
Yeah.
I invite you to bring your families and just come and experience the incredible grounds. Our actual ribbon cutting ceremony, which is going to be different than a traditional ribbon cutting ceremony. We're going to do a branding of the building.
Okay.
Will be July 4th at 10:30 a.m. And it's going to be open to the public. So everybody is invited to come July 4th, 10:30 a.m. to trlibrary.com to get your tickets. But come and see history happen.
Well, and the incredible uniqueness of this, the time that it's occurring, Robbie, as well. I mean, if it wasn't for several pieces of legislation to include the Antiquities Act and some other things by TR, none of these things would be possible. And then to see this in the beauty of the West, as he, in some facets would have enjoyed it in Theodore Roosevelt National Park, and then a connection to North Dakota, our current, or should I say former governor, is now the current Secretary of the Interior.
Mm-hmm.
It's the serendipity of this project. It is, everything has lined up just as it's supposed to make the impact and potential of this project as high as possible. TR protected over 230 million acres of land for the country, for the citizens, for the size of Texas plus Massachusetts plus North Dakota. That is for the use and cultivation of our citizens. Guess what year was the most visited year in TR National Park history? It was 1976, America's 200th birthday.
Yeah.
We've never actually recaptured that moment. Mm. On years of great American significance, our citizens go outdoors to celebrate the beautiful nature of our national parks and just be proud of who we are and our history. So I anticipate that this year will be the most visited year in TR National Park history. We will surpass 1976. We'll do it in the only national park ever named for a citizen, for Theodore Roosevelt. The rest are all named for a place.
Yeah.
So you can forgive me for being a little romantic about the potential of this moment.
Yeah, and these libraries get a lot of people. I mean, I looked it up, and like the Ronald Reagan Library got 400,000 plus last year. So I have a question here, email from Ross H. How do people get into and out of Medora during that opening period of the first 5 days, we'll call it, January,
yep, so
or July 1st through 5th.
Absolutely. So we're going to have public transfer at the from both Dickinson and the Freiburg exit. We'll have the U.S. Forest Service lot that'll have room for 10,000 cars. In addition, if you are staying in Medora, you can go to your hotel and park in town. Absolutely. But the town is pretty well booked up. But I'll just say this, there's campsites, there's locations around the area. Dickinson is 30 minutes away. We will have free public transport and busing in and around the city and community. The town will be alive with constant entertainment. We have music going on everywhere, history around you. Chimney temples absolutely saturated with fun activities for all members of your family. And of course, then after July 4th, come up and join us. July 4th, the evening of as well, we're going to have the actual site of the TR Library open for a drone show. The drone show where you can get tickets at trlibrary.com. We have 1,776 drones in the sky telling the life and legacy of Theodore Roosevelt.
That makes me smile, Robbie. I mean, everything that you do is so calculated and based upon something that matters. 1776, all these different things. I think that just is so amazing. And one of the things I wanted to mention, too, is, I appreciate the local aspect of some of this. I know KLJ, North Dakota Architects, were the local project architects, my former colleague, Lonnie Lafine, talked about it before he passed away. He's one of the three partners, as their company's kind of like their moonshot there and landing their biggest and most amazing project that the company could ever possibly conceive. And, I really appreciate that because, the North Dakota people really understand in a unique way the value of bringing this to their home, state.
Well, the vast majority of the people building, constructing, partners we've had to design this project have been North Dakotans. I'm a proud fourth generation North Dakotan from eastern part of the state, fallen in love with this place. It's changed my life. My entire mission in my life is to bring people to this place because the world needs more North Dakota. I fell in love with Medora and the Badlands first, and then I fell in love with TR through it. It's our hopes that we will have people who love TR to fall in love with North Dakota through this project. So it's our entire intention to make this the most proud place that all of us, all of our citizens of our amazing state has to show off and to bring people and welcome them to North Dakota and let them see the potential of this place and perhaps even move here and start a family. So I appreciate that, Tim. That's really kind. And Lonnie was an incredible partner on this project, and we'll have his family here celebrating his incredible legacy.
I mean, what a touching moment for them, too. I mean, it'll just kind of...
There's going to be a lot of families. You know, this project was built by philanthropists and people who invest anywhere from $26 to $50 million in this project. And we're going to celebrate their incredible generosity.
And I can't wait. You know, your dad's been a long-time friend of mine going back to college days.
Yeah.
And his... When he beams the most... is when you're talking about his, you know, his two kids, the son and the daughter, and what they're doing in society. And I know he's going to have a grin from ear to ear that'll take a plastic surgeon to get removed off of him because it is such a great time.
Well,
and
it's go ahead. You know, it's very special to celebrate with our families. And my mom, Rob, and Kim have been just the biggest supporters of me in my entire career, and they'll be as excited as ever. And then my beautiful wife, her family. Our grandparents, Harold and Shiloh Schaefer, who passed away decades, you know, a while ago, they would be just grinning ear to ear to see what Medora can do and what it will continue to be. And it's all through the generosity of philanthropy.
And your wife's name is, for those that aren't aware of that?
It's Medora. And I promise it's not a bit. We did fall in love completely independent of the serendipity of her also being in love with this place.
Yeah. We have about 5 minutes left for this segment, Robbie, and then we'll cut you loose because we know you're busier than a chameleon in a box of crayons. So we really appreciate you taking the time today. But, you know, can you walk us through some of the events, you know, July 1st, July 2nd, July 3rd, some of those? Because I'm guessing many of those you have, you know, put in your mind and you can't, you know, get them out of the etching from that.
Well, it's going to be incredible. We have about 2,000 invited guests who helped make this library possible joining us for July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. That will have some private events up on the site that will have anything from, again, those drone shows telling TR's life story in the sky every night sequentially. It's different stories every night that it's telling with the 1776 drone. Some programming from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. with, as I said, programs about TR's relevancy in the Admiralty. Two U.S. senators, Senator Kramer and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, debating which party has greater ownership in a very fun and positive way over TR's legacy, which I think is a fun conversation to have. Arthur Brooks, one of the greatest scholars on human happiness and flourishing, talking about healing and the outdoors, TR's incredible legacy of those type of programs. So that'll be things like that will be going on throughout the day at the library. Well, also there's going to be basically a great state fair in the town of Medora. The main street of Medora outside the Rough Riders Hotel will be shut down for music and entertainment throughout the day. Programming games, historical lessons. The National Park is going to be doing additional custom tours and live guided hikes. And on the 4th, we're going to have a ribbon cutting ceremony that doesn't involve ribbons being cut. It's going to be what I would say one of the most beautiful and meaningful moments in North Dakota history. Let's just say that there's going to be airplanes and Rough Riders involved.
Okay.
And then on July 1st, you know, there's going to be more things to be announced very soon, and it's going to just be a great time to be in the Badlands.
Sorry, I just had this really bizarre flashback of turkeys being dropped. Don't drop turkeys. That's a WKRP flashback joke. Sorry about that. Because we talk about horses and I think it's really cool that you're incorporating horses in this because it's such an important part of that era. You know, and the other thing is, you know, I always make sure I don't lose sight of the fact that all the things he overcame in his life, whether it's the death of his mother and wife on the same day, to actually losing a presidential election. Sometimes people forget about that, after he'd reached the pinnacle, he had a setback.
TR came here on September 8th, 1883, to hunt a bison after marrying the love of his life and announcing the pregnancy of their newborn child. He achieved the highest political success in New York, and everything was going right. And then on February 14th, 1884, his whole life changed. His wife and his mother died on the same day in the same house. And he took out his diary and he put an X on that date and said, "The light of my life has gone out." Mm-hmm. That diary will be on display for the first time ever at the TR Library.
Wow.
And it'll be telling the story of somebody who's the fulcrum point of his hero's journey happened in Medora, North Dakota. TR could have gone one of two ways. He abandoned his newborn child, gave up on his life, and went west to get himself hurt or possibly killed and to lose all interest in doing things for the common good for America. But instead, he came west and was healed by the outdoors. was healed by nature. Tim, what an important lesson for our kids to learn, that when you experience hardship, go outside. When you think things can't get, you can't get better, push through like TR did. And instead of ending his life in that moment, he went on to be perhaps our greatest American and reach his full potential. He had a great quote, "Black hair can't follow a horse whose pace is fast enough." In other words, keep going through the hard times. In the time with anxious kids and a generation of folks who are struggling with addiction to phones and different technology, go outside. This library is going to inspire people to reconnect with nature. When I come to Medora, my blood pressure literally lowers. My heartbeat lowers. I sleep better. That's what we want people to do. We're using TR just to connect people to nature and to the real world again. So,
yeah, I experienced that too. When I go up there, it's
I got one of those rings that tells you how healthy you are. And my ring is like, dude, you got to stay in Medora more. You're far better health.
And, and Robbie, am I flipping and saying, you know, I mean, I know there's presidential libraries in other places, but this might be one of the most unique?
Well, it is going to be the greenest building on earth when it's done. It's zero water, zero waste, zero energy, and zero carbon offset. It is the most beautiful building at the only presidential library you'll be able to hike, bike, or ride your horse to. We've got a hitching post.
And
it's the only one at the entrance of a national park. So let me tell you this. There's no question this will be the greatest presidential library in the country.
And I wouldn't expect anything less from you and the people that are been working on it. I mean, in all honesty, because you guys, every piece of detail is paid, you know, attention to. So that's been Robbie Loff, the executive director of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library. Thanks for your time, Robbie. Sincerely appreciate it, because, again, I know how busy you are, that you took the time out to inform our listeners of what's going on in this most consequential.
We interrupt regularly scheduled programming and go live to the studio for both AM 1100 and WDAY Radio. Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And thank you, Ronnie. I'll tell you, I just drove in on 94 from southern Minnesota, and we ran into quite a bit of hail along 94 just outside of Moorhead. So if you're going from Moorhead down towards 94 going south, be prepared for occasional bouts of hail. Most of it was pea-sized, but there was some larger hail. But we just did have a tornado warning issued for northeastern Hubbard County until 3:15. At 2:50, a confirmed tornado was located over LaPorte, just 9 miles northwest of Walker, moving east at 25 miles an hour. LaPorte, Benedict, you're all in the path of this. So once again, a tornado has been confirmed in northeastern Hubbard County. Just about 7 minutes ago, a confirmed tornado was located over LaPorte, which is 9 miles northwest of Walker, Minnesota, moving east at about 25 miles an hour. Again, this is a confirmed tornado by weather spotters on the ground. LaPorte, Benedict, you're all in the path of this storm. This warning, again, is in effect until 3:15, so it's a pretty quick-moving moving system. But again, if you're in Benedict or, LaPorte or Benedict, it's approaching the Benedict area right now, you'll please want to take cover immediately. In basement, preferably. If you don't have a basement, just put as many walls between you and the outside as possible. Again, a confirmed tornado on the ground over LaPorte, moving east at 25, so approaching the Benedict area here over the next 10 minutes. So again, if you're in the town of Benedict, you'll want to take cover immediately. Looks like it's going to go just north of Walker, but I'll tell you what, it's pretty close. So Benedict, Walker, you're going to want to take cover immediately. A reported tornado is on the ground. It has been confirmed by weather spotters. And again, that's in northeastern Hubbard County in Minnesota. So we're looking at areas around Benedict, Walker. You're in the path of this tornado. You'll want to take cover immediately. We'll be keeping an eye on radar here for the remainder of the afternoon. But I think here in the FM area, we did have some hail earlier. Most of it was pea to marble size. If you have any reports of damage, let us know. 701-293-9000. Shoot us a call. Or if you are around the Benedict area, give us a call. Let us know what you're seeing. You know, is have you witnessed any damage? Let us know so then we can pass that along to the National Weather Service. So once again, recapping, a tornado warning in effect for northeastern Hubbard County. That's in Minnesota. Confirmed tornado is on the ground approaching the Benedict area. It's moving east at 25. Benedict, Walker, you're all in the path of this, so you'll want to take cover immediately. Again, if you have any damage reports, give us a call, 701-293-9000. Ronnie?
All right, and we now return to regularly scheduled programming. And just quickly, a reminder as well, right before we went on with Dean, there was a severe thunderstorm warning about 2:53 p.m. issued for Clay County as well. So we will keep you up to date with more weather information as it becomes available. Custom Truck and Auto Shine Time Check, 3:03. It is the Jay Thomas Show. Some more doors for guest host Tim Flackel.
Took me a second because there's one note and then there's nothing, so...
It's the greatest of the Doors,
yep.
New stereo mix of a song called End of the Night.
So, remember the song This is the End by the Doors?
I do remember
very
that song, yes.
Cool, but very eerie.
It was a bit eerie.
Yes. And particularly, you know, because when the Doors first came out, I was pretty young, believe it or not. I was, you know, at that era. But
I'm told overseas Jim Morrison's grave is very well visited.
Highly visited. Very tough to get to in Paris. Yeah. Thought about doing it when I was there, but it's just so hard to find, to be honest, that they say it's like, eh. Yeah. And now it's fenced off because people were like chipping off pieces off of his face.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Stupid stuff like that you know, desecrated him. It's like, why would you have somebody who thought so much of and then like want to wreck his face,
destroy their marker, and
you know, I can see if you didn't like the guy, but anyway, I'm Tim Flackel sitting in for Jay and the Jay Thomas Show here on 970 WDAY, 93.1 FM, 1100 The Flag, and FM 92.3, as well as our stations out in Tioga.
Yes, hello.
Dakota. So welcome to you. We've had a little bit of weather here coming through. We had a couple bouts with some small hail, unlike Western North Dakota, where it looks all clear and nice for golfing today, but and I think we're going to get some rain coming up. Hopefully it didn't ruin any of my garden that I've been working on.
Yeah, just a minute or two ago, a confirmed tornado touchdown in over near Walker, Minnesota. Yeah. So
stay tuned. Later on the show, we're going to be joined by Cody Cashman, the CEO of the Red River Valley Fair. Give us a little preview of that coming up in July, here at the beginning of July, as well as Sandra Vegan, who is with the Red River Valley Garden Tour to benefit Hope Blooms. But if you want to give us a call us in the studio line at 701-293-9000, thanks to Thor Buildings, or you can email us thanks to Teresa over at Red Wing Shoes. At studio at WDAYradionow.com. I'm excited to be joined by a couple guests that are working on something that's really spectacular. It's an exciting new program at NDSU called the NDSU Honors College, major point of distinction, comparing NDSU to their peers. And I you'll have to bear with me a little bit on my segue here. I noted that today's the last day that a teammate can buy tickets for the game, football game in Hawaii. Okay, well, you know, next week the NCAA cabinet will meet to decide if we're playoff eligible in football, et cetera, et cetera. You know, football is well heralded, known nationally, but what people don't necessarily realize, because it's done a different way in terms of the academic areas, we have academic programs at NDSU that they have there that are totally on par or even better than our football program. They're known nationally. They're known internationally. We have phenomenal faculty that are doing amazing things, both in the area of teaching, but also in the area of research, that are truly global leaders. And sometimes that's not talked about. We, you know, because football is a little easier to relate to. When you look at some of the research that's done on the 64-cell Graafian follicle, it narrows your field down pretty quickly. So I'm really happy to have our next guest, Dr. Kimberly Wallen, the dean of the NDSU College of Arts and Sciences, which was just merged about a year or so ago. So she has the biggest college on campus, a lot of students in that area, and Dr. James Brown, the founding director of the NDSU Honors College. So welcome to the show, folks.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Thank you.
Yep, yep. And I've talked to Kimberly about coming on radio once before, and I don't think she trusted me or something like that. I think she brought you along, James, just to make sure that I behaved.
I'll be a good wingman.
Yeah, yeah. So, and again, this is big news when you talk about what's being made available for the first time ever starting this fall, as I understand it. So tell us about the Honors College getting started and what led up to it.
All right. Well, I'll start out. So the Honors College has been in conversation for maybe 18 months, 24 months. We're working very closely with a donor to make it happen and to also have it be something that just isn't on top of what students are already doing. So it's something unique. Many conversations, ideas going back and forth, and then really finally landed on what we could deliver at NDSU as well as what was the donor's vision. And so on September 9th, it was announced by President Cook at the State of the University address. A lot of work done between then and when we were finally able to bring on our founding executive director, James Brown, and that was in February. James, take it over.
Yeah, thanks. It's really a pleasure to be here. I'm so grateful to have the opportunity. I've been in Fargo since 2015, and you can't live in Fargo for 10 years and not love NDSU, and I think the affection that the donors and everyone here has just been really impressive. So it's a great opportunity for students. So what it is we have a cohort of 30 students starting here in the fall, and they're top-notch, very motivated, very talented. So I came aboard in February, and Kimberly and the team of faculty and staff worked really hard to recruit an outstanding class. Very competitive applications, reviewed test scores and grades and everything, and we've got a really, really good cohort starting here in the fall. Thanks to the donors, as Kimberly mentioned, these students get up to $25,000 a year to their tuition, room and board, books, et cetera. For many students, that covers everything. You know, for some students, there may be a little bit, but it really, I think, changes the game for some of these students to be able to do this. So that's part of it. Part of what we're doing with the cohort is they will live together in a living learning community in Pavick Hall, so all 30 will be on the same floor. And I think really it is the vision of the donors and Kimberly and everyone who's worked on this to build some community here. And I think that is different than a lot of Honors College's approaches, especially at larger schools. Many of them will have a dorm, which is great, and the students live together, but this is a small cohort. They don't have many of the financial pressures that some of their peers have that will allow them to really focus on their academics and get to know one another. The other key to this is, as you would expect, at NDSU it's very engineering and STEM heavy, just the nature of the school and agriculture, but we're really trying to put a cohort of students together across disciplines and across majors.
So it doesn't matter what major they are necessarily. So it's not just STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, for those of you that aren't in the field.
Good job.
It's STEAM, as some people call it.
Yep. Put the arts in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's open to every major across the university.
Even undeclared, if they're undeclared?
They apply, and the Office of Admissions narrows it down for us. We had over 400 qualified applicants this past year, and that's pretty impressive given it's our first year.
No kidding. Okay, I'll let the cat out of the bag a little bit here. Wasn't sure what I'm going to. I'm not going to give a student's name, even though I have permission. I'm not going to do it. But I talked to a parent who knew I was having you both on the radio, and this parent, he or she, talked about how excited their kid who graduated from Fargo North is to come to NDSU as one of the people that were selected amongst the 30, and how they had offers from places like Yale, Creighton, where they were guaranteed if they enrolled there that they would automatically be they would be accepted into their dental program. I mean, some big, big offers. I think they had offer from there's a campus to the north of us here. They had some, other, big offers, but they chose this program not only because of what was being offered in terms of academically and financially, but going back to that Pavic Hall type thing is that community of really great fellow, peers that they can really learn a lot from. And I think it's so fun that I was there when I worked with F. Les Pavic, who is the building is named after when he was a vice president at NDSU, and he would be smiling from ear to ear. I got to tell you that you selected that place for that to happen. And I think that is really an important part of it, because I've done some programs like executive education programs at different places. And part of it was not just the teachers, the faculty, but the students that I got to work with. Like my roommate at Harvard was a Navy admiral. One of my cohort of seven was the second command at National Intelligence. So that whole bundle of really gifted people that see things from different perspectives. And in all honesty, I hope you have some, outside the Fargo-Moorhead area in amongst your 30, because that just brings another aspect of they see things, they've experienced things that, they may not if they're all from Fargo North.
We have a student from Alaska.
Oh, okay. They came here for the weather.
James, do you recall how many states we have students from?
I want to say it's 6 or 7, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about right.
Yeah, 6 or 7. And again, that is pretty amazing given that this is our first year. James just recently hired a full-time recruiter. So I would expect in coming years that we'd have students from even further out than the region.
Yeah. And this parent who I talked to, who's nameless, talked about how, the entire experience, whether it was meeting with the admissions folks to I think it was a professor of biology, I think he referenced.
That's correct.
And it was like, wow, this is like, at every turn, they were impressed.
That's really, really nice to hear. We did a lot of work. We were kind of building it as we were sailing it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, our focus was on the students and having them engaged and having them understand that this is a different program. And James, why don't you talk a little bit about the Human Potential Studio?
Yeah, that's great. So one of the things we want to make available to students is a place for them to gather and work and collaborate. So when you think about the types of problems that they're going to face and the big challenges that they want to tackle as students, the ability to work together, have resources, be open to them 24/7. We're remodeling a room in the basement of the West Dining Center, so it's very close to Pavic Hall, so they can just roll down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be a studio. It'll be for work. And we're working with some architecture professors, interior design, and they got 4 students to work on the design. So again, this whole thing is students focused. We want it to be of benefit and reach out to the entire university.
I wonder if that's the old Varsity Martin North, because I think there's only one room down in the lower level, just below the dining center.
Yeah, I don't know what
there's
the original
tutoring across the hall right now.
Okay,
and this
okay.
was a computer
well, I went,
lab.
I went back like yeah. Back when they gave real lambskin, in your diploma, so and you had to catch your own lamb.
Oh, Tim!
Just in North Dakota.
Yeah, right? Just in North Dakota. So what? I mean, what makes it different? You talked about because I've been to associate with some campuses. They have we have three people that did the honors program stand up and be recognized. Okay, you wonder if it's just a kind of a little something here and there or what. And we may be getting in more weather. We have Dean Wysocki. Are you ready to go on?
Yeah, we've got. Sorry, guys. Sorry to interrupt you. So the tornado warning. has expired, but now we've got a new severe thunderstorm warning in effect till 3:45 here, so for about another half hour for central Clay County. A severe thunderstorm warning located about 15 miles east of Fargo, right around the Buffalo River area, moving southeast at 35. It's about 60-mile-an-hour winds and possibly up to quarter-size hail expected with this this storm. And some of the towns included in this include Holly, Glendon, Downer, and right along the Buffalo River. And again, the main threat is going to be about quarter size hail. So again, for central Clay County until 3:45, severe thunderstorm warning. And that storm, the central part of that storm, located about 15 miles east of Fargo, moving southeast at about 35. So if you're in and around the Glendon, Downer, those areas, Holly area, expect to see some hail. If you have any reports of damage, let us know. 701-293-9000. Ronnie will take those damage reports, and then we can pass that along to the National Weather Service. That's important for them to know as well, whether it's damage or size of the hail as well. Because, I mean, if it gets it much bigger than quarter, we're looking at quite a bit of damage. Even quarter-size hail can do quite a bit of damage. So just to cap it up, severe thunderstorm warning for central Clay County till 3:45 with a severe thunderstorm right now about 15 miles east of Fargo, moving southeast at 35.
Stay tuned.
Hopefully this is it.
Yeah,
let's hope
well,
so.
You never know what pops up.
Yeah,
you know,
I think we're okay. We're okay here in Fargo for the rest of the afternoon, but east into Minnesota, there still could be a couple of strong to severe storms for the next hour or so.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be here.
Thank you, buddy.
We'll be here watching
right.
you. And again, reminder to the people, there is no Valley News Live tonight. We're going to go to alternative programming, Ronnie.
Yeah, they're at Shinnecock Hills, I believe. Am I getting that right? U.S. Open, I think. Well, a big golf tournament's going on, and they're doing coverage.
Yep. So there will be... We won't be simulcasting with them at the 5 o'clock hour. So
there is a possibility it may actually be a repeat of this show. I don't know, but
okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah,
they're so popular we started right again.
That's right.
It's like deja vu all over again to quote Yogi Berra. Again, we're joined by Dr. Kimberly Wallen, Dean of NDSU College of Arts and Sciences, and Dr. James Brown, who is the founding director of the NDSU Honors Program, talking about the Honors Program, which is going to really help set NDSU, but not only NDSU, but the community. Because one of the things I'm excited about is I'm an impatient person. Anybody who knows me, I want these students to be graduated 4 years ago and see what they're doing in their life, because I hold out great hope and promise that they're going to be some of the people that come up with the next wow ideas, and they're going to bring them right here into the metro, and they're going to launch their entrepreneurial brains to generate some really exciting things that they're going to do, that they're going to lead, whether it's locally, globally, nationally, whatever. And I'm excited to see that, because I think someday you're going to be, you know, have the ability to really tout the grads that came out of this program that you've created from New Cloth.
I think that's 100% right. I think when you think about the Honors College, these students are going to be in a college that's going to grant their degree. So they're going to be in the College of Engineering. They're going to be in the College of Business. But here what we want to do is give them a chance to not do more of the same, but something fundamentally different. And it's exactly as you described. Take big risks.
Yeah.
Ask bold questions. Risk failure, right? I mean, we all know that major accomplishments that you see have a string of failures behind them. How do we enable them to do that, give them the resilience to do that? I got an email from one student that was awesome, and he said, let's risk failure to change the world.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what this is about.
And it kind of goes back to my first guest today, talking about the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library and how he overcame so much adversity in his life, whether it's the passing of his mother and his wife in the same day to... I mean, just a whole series of things that happened to him, and he just kept marching forward. So what do you, I mean, to the average person, what's different about the Honors Program than being enrolled, like, for me, if I was a student? What's different? I mean, you talked about the cohorts working together in Pavlik Hall and some of those things, but academically, what's different?
So I think we're going to set these students up with faculty both at NDSU that are highly motivated to work with them and ask these big questions. So they're going to get access to these faculty, research opportunities, collaboration opportunities between the cohort and the faculty. And we want to bring in internationally recognized thought leaders, entrepreneurs, government officials, leaders from, you know, all over the country and really the world, and expose these kids to high caliber individuals that can do two things. One, give them the benefit of their experience and what they've accomplished, and look at them and say, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tell me what you're interested in. And then I think we want to foster that curiosity. So one of the things I think is going to be super important in the age of AI and all these other things is this curiosity. So I know that the faculty fellows that we have that are going to teach courses and interact with students are going to be mentors and course leaders, and they're going to be guides for curiosity. I was just reading an article where people are worried about AI and how it's, you know, you're outsourcing your thinking and whatnot. And it was very clever because it said, what's the most important thing when using AI? Asking the right question.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're not getting the Wikipedia page or anything like that.
Yep.
So even if you're using AI, it's important to ask the right question and ask good questions. And I think that's one of the real focuses the donors and Kimberly and others had this vision of, really this abundance mindset. We have so many opportunities to do so many interesting things and really have an impact on human flourishing. And we've accomplished so much. Part of it is to change this pessimistic attitude and really approach this with optimism. And then have these 30 students infect, you know, the university and the world with this optimism, with this attitude that you had described, like Robbie had, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that's what I think we're trying to do, and give them the tools and access to top faculty and visiting scholars to enable them to really not be limited by really anything. We're just going to try to get everything out of their way.
And let me just chime in real quick. It's a great benefit for these students, but it's also a great benefit for all of the students at NDSU. When we bring in the thought leaders, the idea is, you know, if their time is available, that they'll interact across campus. So they might have, you know, closer interactions with the Honors College students, but they'll also interact with campus or across campus.
Right, Yep. I really understand that. You know, Dean Wallen, you had one of the biggest, what I'll call the biggest challenges and the biggest opportunities of anybody at NDSU this past year when you were part of the selection process, where you had to narrow that list, you know, original 400 plus or whatever, down to the 30 that were selected. So what did you, what two-parter here, what are some of the things you learned during that process, and what kind of separated those that were successful in being selected versus those that were not selected? Because, I mean, you're talking really great students that had to be turned away, too.
Yeah, that is true. One of the things that we learned, the students need to write an essay. And reading through the essays, we realized that we needed this coming year, next time, to have a more challenging question for them to address, because that didn't differentiate the top. The Zoom interviews really differentiated the students.
Okay.
We were looking for curiosity. Examples where they have failed, stood up, tried again,
yep,
and viewed that failure as an opportunity. And, you know, this abundance mindset of we can tackle anything and be successful.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And again, you know, what a great opportunity for you to learn, you know, and get ideas from them. So we're going to be right back. I'm Tim Flacco, sitting in for Jay on the Jay Thomas Show here on 970 WDY, 93.1 FM and 1100 The Flag. And we'll be right back with our two guests talking about the NDSU Honors College and what a great impact it's going to be making for decades to come.
Custom Truck and Auto Shine Time Check, 3:37, the Jay Thomas Show, guest hosted by Tim Flackel today. And Tim, we've got a very special event coming up next week as well to tell people about the fourth annual Timber Creek Block Party and Car Show happens Tuesday, the 23rd of June, 4 to 10 p.m. at Kingpin's. Fun for all ages with games to go. A car show, live music from the Front Fenders, a variety of food from Kingpin's and Sweet Shots, beverages from Pepsi and ice cream from Lundy's. The patio open, 21 and over, adult beverages, new chairs and tables. It's the fourth annual Timber Creek Block Party and Car Show. This coming Tuesday, June the 23rd, 4 to 10 p.m., go to kingpinswithaz.com for details, just off of 52nd Avenue South and I-29 here in Fargo.
Very good, and thank you, Ronnie Lee, for being here today, the pride of Forbes, North Dakota.
Salute. also, just a FIFA World Cup note. We are in the, now, if I'm getting this right, the 72nd minute. Mm-hmm. The U.S. leads Australia 2-0.
Oh, nice.
Without Christian Pulisic, yeah, who went out with a calf injury.
Their star player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good. I mean, yeah, okay, we won't count our chickens. Well, they got about 25 minutes.
Left, so. I think that sounds right, yes.
Yep. So later on in the show, we'll be joined by Sandra Vegan, the Red River Valley Garden Tour, talking about that program to benefit Hope Blooms. And Cody Cashman will be on talking about the Red River Valley Fair this year, starting in July. So we're kind of talking on some topical things here that are up and coming. So getting back to the NDSU program on Honors College, I mean, I don't. Sometimes people will get, you know, criticize you without knowing the wherewithal behind it. I mean, is this kind of for rich elite kids, or do you have a spectrum of demographics?
It is not for rich elite kids. I think we do have a spectrum of demographics, and by design, we're taking different majors, right? So we don't just look at the test scores and the GPA. We intentionally want a broad spectrum of backgrounds, of different majors. We compare it sometimes to putting together a sports team. We've got positions. We want different contributions from different majors and thought processes, the way people think about things. I had lunch with one of the psychology majors, and she has this great, like, sense of humor. I was laughing the entire time, right? So we need to, you know, put that against the boring engineers, right, and get them.
What a stereotype the heck out of this thing.
But, yeah, we really do want it across. And I think part of what this program with the scholarship allows to happen is it's not limited by anything, right? If you have the curiosity and the dedication and the talent and the motivations as you go through the application process, it's really open to anybody, and it really allows students to look and do things that maybe they didn't think that they could do in college. So maybe, you know, college is expensive, so maybe if you bring in a lot of credits and you could graduate early. But now with this scholarship, it's like, wait a minute, maybe I want to stay another year and learn more things and get more interactions with my peers. So I think that, combined with bringing in external experts and to interact with, I think really makes it attractive and really ambitious for any student.
So they have 4 years of eligibility for the scholarship. So, I mean, if they bring in a bunch of AP or dual credit classes, which are, you know, counted college equivalents, they can stay on and get a second major or something of that nature because they want to stay with their cohort group and not just the academic experience, but, you know, backed by the scholarship, and then they get that exposure to their colleagues who by that time they'll know everything about them because they've lived together and they'll survive together, and hopefully, you know, they're loving their life in Pavic Hall and everything. But now the money that you got in from this donor, does the bulk of it go towards these scholarships? Because, as you know, when you run the numbers, it'll cost that person or persons or company or whatever it is $750,000 the first year, $1.5 million the second year, and just, you know, add up until you get to $3 million for a 4-year program running off and running. So is that where the bulk of the donation goes
to? That's exactly right. There's of course the operational aspects of the Honors College, right. So myself and we have three staff in addition to me, so that's, we're trying to keep it small and lean, but these staff are going to be dedicated to recruiting new students. We have an assistant director of student success who's excellent, who's going to be dedicated to to making sure that these 120 students have everything that they need and things are going well for them. And that's a real commitment across NDSU. There are student success positions throughout the university. And, you know, coming in as new, that's one of the things that I've been very impressed by is I think what NDSU wants to do is meet every student where they are. So if you're a student who's qualified or has done things for the Honors College, then we want to make that available to you. If your student has other interests or other, you know, parts of your life, the university wants to support your success as well. So this is just, it's not elitist, it's just meeting every student where they are. Mm-hmm. Just these students have done a lot, they've got a lot of AP, they've got a lot of potential to do these things, but it's part of an overarching philosophy of meeting every student where they are.
So you still have a lot of heavy lifting to do because you had that first group of students coming in, and maybe even before they're in. I mean, I don't know what the timeline is for the second group that will be coming in. I mean, when is that application process? I mean, any estimates or guesses when that will start in case parents or grandparents or students, you know, want to know when can I start looking at the paperwork and putting some materials together to qualify?
Yeah, I think we'll once again start the process mid-fall. And mm-hmm. so that's when you're going to want to be checking out the website, checking out the scholarship portal, getting in the system, so to speak, of NDSU so you can see what opportunities are available. NDSU offers a variety of scholarships. I think there's a ton of opportunities mm-hmm. available for every student in every major. And then typically then the Zoom interview process will probably be early in 2027 as we look to make the offers to the students and then think about alternates. I'm already talking to rising seniors. Yeah. You know, I go to science fairs, I go to Science Olympiad, I get out to other things. I'm talking to, one of the things we really want to do is look at the arts and theater and things like that. We don't have students, but that's, we got to fix that problem. Mm-hmm. We got to find these students and work hard to do that.
You know, I guess the one piece of advice I would give them is practice interviewing, because I'm always shocked that even seniors in college who are interviewing for the first time for this job they really, really want, and they have never practiced interviewing with friends or faculty or business leaders just to kind of get that edge off and get feedback as far as what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. And Zoom makes it, to me, much tougher. I believe that 100%. Personally because...
Yep.
The nonverbals are tougher to pick up on, I think, and it's like, okay, where do I put my hands, kind of thing. So, Dr. Nelson, one of the things I talked about off air is, you know, your background and how you got to where you're at today leading this program. How are some of your past activities helped you prepare to be successful in this role?
It's like I'm back in my interview. So my background is not academia. I've been in biotech for 30 plus years, and I've typically been part of startups. And I was thinking about it the other day, and it occurred to me for the first time. Throughout that 30 years, I've never had a job where there's been someone in the job before me. So in my entire career.
Okay. Yep.
So I think part of what attracted me to this, and I think the search committee thought would be an advantage, is that experience of startup. So, mm-hmm. you know, as Kimberly said, we're building it as we fly it. And, you know, we have office space, we have temporary furniture. And I just talked to one of my colleagues. I say, I spent two months at a different job on folding chairs, right? So it's that sort of, you know, startup mentality, how to get things started. You really have to be a jack of all trades and being able to go across from construction projects mm-hmm. to curriculum and everything like that. So I think that helped. And just being in biotech, and I've been very interested and dedicated to internships and mentoring early career scientists. So at the biotechs I've worked at in Fargo, at Aldevron and Agathos, we always had interns, and a fair amount of them from NDSU. You know, my nephew worked at Aldevron in internship. He was from Illinois, right? Mm-hmm. Lived at my house, right? So I love doing that and enabling students and early career scientists to be successful. And I think biotech is a great example of this abundance mindset, and we're approaching diseases now that we could never approach before. And the past 10 to 20 years, even, you know, really since the sequencing of the human genome, has shown just an explosion in the ability to cure disease and help people flourish and really make a difference. So I think we want to continue that in biotech and expand that to every other field.
Yeah. I've told this story once on the air before, but I'll tell it, and you know, maybe this is helpful or not. But I had lunch one day with James Lovell, the astronaut from Apollo 13, played by Tom Hanks, and talked to him, and I go, how could you? He had like 1,000 things to do, and he had to do them in the right order. And I mean, how could you just not like vapor lock at Hedgehog? And he said, Tim, he said, it's like playing the card game Solitaire. You know, you're turning over cards, and as long as you can put one up every once in a while, you're still in the game. You know, so just keep, you know, grinding away. So your program is up and rolling now. Now you have the pressure to deliver. I mean, both of you feel that pressure, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And if you don't, you should. Whether it be for the donor's sake, the university's sake, but even for people like me who really care about this and want it to do well because it has such high potential, you know, how will you measure your short and long-term successes for this honors program, and how will that be measured, and how will you know to what degree you've been successful?
So I think that ultimately, when this first cohort graduated in 4 years, you know, what are they doing? What are the opportunities? You know, we're already talking about making capital available to have them start companies, and we've seen entrepreneurs from NDSU already start companies. You know, students are already doing that. So are they doing that? Are they
partnering with a tech park?
Yeah. Having leadership positions, forming nonprofits, going into government and having leadership positions, setting policy and things like that. So I think that's part of it. The other thing is, are we attracting students? Are we, with every cohort, are we getting top students? The other thing is, I want to go after the students who applied and maybe didn't make it, but there's still a strong reason for them to come to NDSU. You know, we want all of them.
Right.
We want all the good students, not just the ones that maybe that have applied for and been accepted the Honors College. I think I want to look at that metric. How many of these other students are we getting? And then when you look back, how are these 30 students interacting with their peers outside the Honor College and the university? So we have this human potential studio. They'll have access. I want them to bring their friends from their other colleges and stuff and get in there and mix it up and do
because
do
the number of their
together.
Classes, they're going to be in Johnny's biochem class with the kid from Ypsilanti, and they're going to be in the engineering class with whomever. And, you know, so they'll be in all those classes too. So they're not just totally isolated, this small group that aren't exposed to the outside world.
The Honors
at
College
campus.
Augments doesn't replace anything they're doing in their colleges. And we want, you know, a student to say, hey, I'm working on this project with Honors College and I'm struggling with this. Come help me, you know, and pull other students in.
Yeah. So you want to change gears a little bit? Sure, Tim. So I know in the academic world, you're getting ready. I don't know if you've had orientation or not yet.
Yeah. We've had on campus.
Yeah, I was the orientation leader, and actually with Robbie's dad.
Oh, nice.
We were orientation leaders at the same time back in the long time ago. But how do the numbers look campus-wide for fall? I mean, are we?
We're about down 3% across campus.
So far. And it's early because you get a bunch of, you know, that enroll in the fall. Boom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But across campus, there's been a lot of energy. We've had FFA on campus. That's always fun. Yeah. We have a governor's school on campus right now. Yeah, the orientation, the student admitted days was back in April. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. We were able to meet many of the honors students and their families, which was really, really cool. We were at an event, and I was just looking around and thinking, wow, they're here.
Yeah.
And their pressure's on.
It's a big time for them too, because a friend of mine, Caden, who was just was going to college this fall and went to going to another place out of state for specialty, we'll call it. It's a really scary, eye opening time for them to kind of leave what's very, very familiar to them to launch out. I mean, it's kind of like the frontier people who are ahead of the crossing, United States, and going, you know, on places that weren't, marked or traveled before. So we have a new president at NDSU. You have a new president. We have a new president because we're North Dakotans and we share, and we want great success for President Marshall Stewart. Any advice, Dr. Wall, that you would have for him that you would say, aside from keep the honors program going strong?
I think he's already doing this, but it is, to be open to campus, to listen, to see where our strengths are, not be afraid to, lean into where our gaps are, and, listen across campus, listen to stakeholders. He will be going on the field days, so the 2-week.
Is that part of the statewide tour? Is that called that? Yeah. I mean, are they one and the same? Sometimes, I suppose, it depends.
I mean, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Because I know back in the day I did some of those, but they were the tour, I've been to, because I was an ag guy, did the, field days also with Dr. Lardy, it wasn't Dr. Lardy at the time because he's way younger than me, but.
the field days with Dr. Lardy. So. Absolutely.
Well, thanks for coming on today. I think we're up against the clock. Is that right, Ronnie?
Yeah, we've got about, I'd say, roughly 50 seconds.
Anything in parting that we didn't get to that you go, I wish Flacco would have asked me that?
No, I think you've done a great job, Tim. This has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on and sharing the program.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
We appreciate
I think it's going to be one of those you look back on and go, I was a part of that. I remember those early days. And these are some of our grads that came out of there, and they're doing hugely impactful things. So appreciate it. I'm Tim Flacco, sitting for Jay on the Jay Thomas Show here on 970 WDY, 93.1 FM and 1100 The Flag. And we'll be right back after this break. Cody Cashman is actually in studio. I thought we were calling him today, but he must have some time. And I wonder if he brought me tickets. He said he would bring me event tickets. And I didn't promo those because I didn't know if I could get my hands on them. But we'll be right back after this with Cody Cashman from the Red River Valley Fair.
Custom Truck and Auto Shine Time Check 406 Jay Thomas Show. Guest hosted by Tim Flackel today. One of the many musical artists appearing at this year's Red River Valley Fair, Trace Adkins there with Chrome. And before we get to Tim's interview with Cody Cashman from the Red River Valley Fair, I want to remind you, Hebron and Allsogger's Salute to Service, a community picnic for Veterans Honor Flight. That happens on Thursday, June 25th, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Hebron Brick Supply, West Fargo, benefiting, again, North Dakota, Minnesota Veterans Honor Flight. Free will donations accepted. You can help send local vets to Washington, D.C. Representatives from Honor Flight will be on hand. Also, veterans who've gone will likely be on hand to tell you about it. Pulled pork, brats, old-fashioned hot dogs, and chips from Allsogger Meats. Beer wagon provided by Brutus Brickhouse. Jay Thomas on site from 2 to 5. Live music from the 60s guys. Many attractions, easy for me to say, including a restored Willie's Army Jeep, vintage 1940s fire truck, and raffle prizes. So head out there Thursday, June 25th, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Hebron Brick Supply in West Fargo. And, Tim, we had a watch party at OB Sports Zone. It's a final. The Americans have advanced to the knockout stage, beating Australia 2-0.
There you go.
So,
are you, Cody Cashman, are you a big soccer fan?
I am not a soccer fan, but anytime the USA can take it, take in a win, I'm all
about country,
it. I mean, I'm a patriot all the way.
Like regular soccer, but when it comes to country,
absolutely.
That's...
I'm the world's biggest hockey fan during the Olympics when the United States is playing.
Yeah. NHL did with the, instead of having an all-star game, how they have the, four different country teams, and I love that.
That was cool.
Wouldn't it be interesting? I mean, it's going to be a hefty feat, but the year we've already had in sport, wouldn't that be something?
Oh, absolutely.
To win the World Cup on our own soil.
That would be amazing. It would be. Truly. Truly, truly amazing.
Well, it'd be interesting when we get our best player back, too. He didn't play today, so...
Yeah, my old coach used to say, rub some dirt on it and get back in there.
Get back in there.
I can't rub dirt on it because it's detached from my leg.
You'll be fine. Get in there.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to give away some tickets today, thanks to Cody. We're going to have for July 11th, Trace Adkins tickets.
Well, wasn't that great planning on my part?
And you know, you just mentioned the honor flight that Hebron Brick's doing. Yeah. We're going to show up to that, too. I think we're going to be giving some tickets away as well. So
very nice.
You know, definitely come out there. And just hats off to Hebron, actually. They're donating the brick facade for our new stage that we're building out there. So
nice.
I got to give them a look. When you said Hebron, I was like, well, we better mention
good
that.
Good community members.
They are.
Yep.
Well, and, you know, a lot of the things you guys do kind of go hand in hand, too. I mean, the Heroes Night at the Red River Valley Fair, too.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's funny. They can actually now see the fairgrounds really well from their office over there, and because of the stage, they can see
that's
it.
So right.
They kind of need to make it look nice. You're going to be looking at it all the time.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
We also have tickets for Rock Night featuring Stone Temple Pilots, which is, and Candlebox, and Pop Evil, July 9th.
That's right.
We'll be giving away.
And this is different this year. You know, what we're doing, we're trying to have three acts for the Rock Night, three acts for the Country Night. We're really kind of trying to stack it up, give you some different genres, but not too different, right? Different age groups and really try to bring everybody in. It's funny how many people have told, I've never heard of Pop Evil. I don't get yelled at here, but I've never heard of Pop Evil.
But I was just missing out.
Yeah, the amount of people that have like, oh, Pop Evil. Well, it's just like Uncle Cracker is the opener for Chase Matthews, who's opening for Trace Adkins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Uncle Cracker, I've had more people give me, oh, I got to go see that.
Yeah.
And I love Uncle Cracker.
Like,
okay. All right. Great. You know, and I love hearing that. So we have a really good mix this year. So we're pretty pumped about it.
And you
that.
Have what is it called? Faith and Family Night, is it?
Faith and Family Night.
Which was like off the charts.
That was the biggest
last
night.
Year.
Oh, biggest night. We had 12,800 people, kind of a record for us with Lainey Wilson last year, with Pulse, of course. Pulse North Dakota has been huge for us. They come to us and say, hey, people, we want to be where people are gathered, and we know that's the fairgrounds. And so by all means, they've stepped up in a huge way. They're the big sponsor of that night and helped us get Ann Wilson and Matt Mayer. And I think we have another one that we will announce later. I think was already kind of announced, but we'll announce later. But so it's a great lineup. We're excited. You know, we're kind of bummed out about tonight's race getting canceled, but the next race will be July 3rd. And then our demo derbies we go right into our demo derbies. And we're going to do bus demolition derby, which is kind of we haven't really announced that yet, but there's going to be big buses getting slammed, figure eight racing, all the things in the demolition derby. And then we switch the track over. We get everything cleaned up concrete-wise, get the dirt off, and everybody will get to come in on Tuesday, July 7th, for the first concert on our new stage. So we are the tallest stage, permanent outdoor stage in America. I'm going to say that again. 81 feet tall. Now, fact check me if you want, Ronnie, but I can't find one anywhere that's taller than that stage. Now, we're not the widest stage in America, but we are the tallest now.
Mm.
And you can see it from anywhere.
Time to call Guinness.
Embodying the
world
phrase,
record's not
bigger
beer.
Than life.
Yes. And, you know, it's amazing. When you guys, I can see, you know, I live in the Castleton area, right? Driving in, hitting that Mapleton exit and seeing the fairgrounds now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's a fun feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're really, really excited.
I was there when that happened, kind of thing for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
So, hey, Ronnie, let's get – oops, now Ronnie's busy. Okay, we'll wait. We're going to give away some tickets for Stone Temple Pilots. Well, we got Stone Temple Pilots we're going to give away first. And we're gonna change this up, Ronnie, and we'll probably save some tickets for you for your morning show, if that's okay. We'll take the...
Well, that's very kind of you.
We'll take... Normally, we take the ninth caller. We're going to take the first caller,
first
just
caller.
To see who's quickest.
I like
oh,
it.
Well, that guy will be disappointed. He wanted Trace Adkins.
Well, he doesn't count. He didn't call in now. You can call in at 701-293-9000 and be the first person in, and you get the Stone Temp 4. Four, I say, Stone Temple Pilots tickets.
Okay, and let's go to the phones. Caller number one, you automatically win. Who are we talking to?
Gordon.
Okay, and Gordon, what's the first initial of your last name, sir?
G.
Okay, Gordon G.
Ooh, like Gordon Gecko, but I'm probably not him.
Yes.
So starting
exactly.
Monday, don't come in today because we have no one I can give these to get them down to the front desk. But starting on Monday morning, during normal office hours, You can come and get those, and they'll be at the front desk for you, Gordon.
Congratulations.
Yeah, sounds great.
See you at the fair.
Thank you. Remember to drink a couple beers just to make it up for getting free tickets.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Cody Cashman here. Again, if you have a question, give us a call at 701-293-9000. Take the Thor Buildings or email us at studio@wdayradionow.com. Thanks to Teresa and the folks over at Red Wing Shoes. So I had a couple questions that people fed to me beforehand.
Awesome. Hit me.
No relatives of yours fed me these, but no. what's the difference between this year's fair compared to last year's? And kind of in that same vein, I got it from another person. What are some of the major upgrades in the past year or two, and who sponsored those upgrades? Boy, they fed you that one, huh?
Man,
that's like a big beach ball to hit.
That couldn't be a better softball, right? Well, you know, I think the most obvious one is this stage, right? So we're building the stage. It's in process right now. It's going to be about almost 140 feet wide, 60 feet deep, and then 81 feet tall. It's massive. When you think about how big our old stage was, it was only 32 feet tall. And what's really unique about this stage as well is we made sure that no matter what we put on that stage, we could hold the weight. Mm-hmm. So the weight capacity is a huge issue with these temporary stages, what we used to bring in. Dakota Magic was the huge sponsor of that. And then also the state. We won a state grant for that. And so that was a massive, massive help. The other massively cool thing that's different between this year and last year is we're celebrating our 250th anniversary of America.
Yeah.
I don't believe anyone else in the county is doing a whole lot for that. But luckily, the fair is doing a massive drone show. We are having a drone show every single night at the fair. And we're doing fireworks every single night.
That'll be a double
fair. Double whammy. Thanks to the county commissioners, of course. Thanks to the city of West Fargo. So something cool that happened. The city of West Fargo is sponsoring the 4th of July part of the fireworks show and some of the drone shows. So we're going to put their logo up in the sky. Mm-hmm. And every West Fargo citizen gets to come to the fair for free. On July 4th.
So they like show their ID or something
show
like that?
Show their ID, okay. Or they get a, I think there's just like three or four different ways they can do it, but I think the city's going to be sending out QR codes in utility bills, big surprise, here, pay your utility bill, and then, here's a free ticket to the fair.
So like if you're a 16-year-old West Fargo kid, what do you bring?
Your parents. Bring your parents.
Bring your parents.
that's the golden rule.
There you go. Okay.
Every family member gets to come in and... we're excited because, West Fargo wasn't really doing anything. I don't believe Fargo's doing anything. Moorhead, right? MSUM used to do a big fireworks show. We're kind of it, And to me, I'm a pretty big patriot. Obviously, if you guys have seen the fair's logo and everything we do out there is red, white, and blue. I'm really excited that America's turning 250. And I can't wait to do this drone show. We actually saw the drone show in Australia. We went and saw we visited a fair in Australia who does these drone shows to a whole new level. So I think people are going to be really impressed with what we're doing. It's 350 drones go up in the air. Originally it was only 300, but they threw an extra 50 in for us. Hopefully they get through customs. We'll be in good shape.
Well, we are thinking about bringing, I know we have some family coming in from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
So we are thinking about bringing them out. But question
there's
from
no
the-
thinking. You're yes. bringing them out.
Bringing them out.
All right, there
okay.
it is. There it is.
So question from the broadcast booth. I've seen the postings. Do you have your new Roy yet?
It's funny enough, on the way here, I think we might have.
Okay.
We might have one of the Big Roys. We could always use more Big Roys.
Okay.
So you know the history of Big Roy?
I do not.
So Roy Fought was a gentleman who I had the privilege of only meeting one time. I moved here in 2020. Roy Fought was 105 years old. He was on the Red River Valley Fair Board.
Oh, yeah, because it started in 1904.
Yes. And so Roy, granted, I'm the new guy, right? I'm 27. I'm moving in from Maryland, bring my family. I said, good God, you guys have a 105-year-old on your board. That's crazy. I said, hey, don't you think we should start asking some of these guys maybe to just start stepping down? And I'll never forget this. It was like it was yesterday. Jonathan Garris, our lawyer, said, well, you can call Roy. Yeah, ask him to step down. But I'm going to give you some advice before you do. Roy took out a personal line of credit on his farm to keep the fair going. Go ahead. Make that phone call now. Guess what?
Yeah, there he was. And he's probably somebody who read his entire board packet. Oh, yeah. Before he got to the meeting, because that was kind of his big thing.
And so Cody Cashman got humbled really quick and learned a very valuable lesson. And so it was so cool about what Roy did. And so in the history books of the fair for 60, 70 years of him being on the fair board, his name's all over it. Yeah. So we thought it's appropriate to put Big Roy as the mascot.
That's a terrific story.
And, and his kids, his son Mike is on our fair board, and then his kids come, and his great grandkids. So it's just a really cool four generations of thoughts that come. So anyways,
so in addition to the fair, I have a text message here from a Melissa B who asks, "What are you doing to activate the fairgrounds when the fair or Big Iron isn't there?" And she suggested dog sled races on the track.
I think this one was fed. This one was fed. I can tell already. Dog sled.
Not unless you can bet on them, Tim.
If we can bet on them. Yeah. Maybe the county could pass a law here. I mean,
Listen, I've always wanted to bet on the pig races, but nobody lets me do that.
You know, we actually do bet on the pig races.
Oh, do you really? Yeah. Okay. I did not know that.
Just in between family members. Oh, 25 sure. cents yes, here, yeah. corn dog there, you know. How we are activating the fairgrounds all year round is actually unbelievable. We are so fortunate that we grew at the time we grew. We improved the Butler Arena. We improved the fairgrounds. I mean, we're doing the Renaissance Fair now. We're doing, obviously, racing. We took over the racetrack, the mm-hmm. Red River Valley Renaissance Fair. Corn Maze and Pumpkin Patch, my favorite, completely my favorite thing, I got to tell you that. That's all planted. We have three farmers, who help us do all this, and they don't charge us a penny. Beaton Farms comes out and plants the corn. Skunis Farms help us with the sunflowers patch. And then, mm-hmm. of course, our pumpkin patch is done by what we like to call the Pumpkin King. His name is Jake Longlet and the Longlet Farms. So these folks come out from Arthur, from Amenia, to help the Red River Valley Fair. They come, they bring their equipment all the way from their farm, and they don't charge us anything to do that. They genuinely believe in ag education. So that's one of those things that we're doing. Then, obviously, the holiday lights. We do the drive-through holiday lights. That's a big thing for us. And then we do a thing called Bounce in the Valley. We do usually typically in that November timeframe, and then again in February. But our goal is to continue to grow, continue to add as many events as possible. But again, back to the fair a little bit, the drone show is going to be spectacular. This area has never had a drone show. We're really excited about patriotism. We're really excited about the permanent video boards that we put on our stage. That's going to be spectacular. Livewire's putting that in. Everything we've done with this stage has been completely local. That was on purpose.
Yeah.
We bought the steel from Fargo Steel in Mapleton. We bought Gateway Builders is putting it up. All finished concrete, of course, right? So all of our sponsors, all of our local folks that support us, Livewire's doing the install, obviously on the video board. So yeah, we're really excited. We love our community. We love everything we did that we do with racing. We have two platforms we just built. So back in the pits for the racers, we built this really nice platform. I say we have a gentleman named Jeff Oden who built that. We have a saying at the fairgrounds, and Jeff we trust. Jeff says he can do it. He can do it, and he'll do it right. We also built what we call a mom's deck. So the mom's deck was designed because we went to the Red Hawks games and the Fargo Force games and stuff like that. And I was telling my wife about, hey, we're going to create this kid zone. And she's like, oh, great. So I get to go watch the kids and you get to go watch the races. Cause that's what that's what happens to, you know, Red Hawks. And
right.
I like watching the game and she likes watching the kids, and you know, maybe she doesn't now I find that out, but we are making a platform that you can watch the races and your kids at the same time. So kind of a party deck for the moms and dads the races are going on. So it's something new idea. Right?
Yeah. Cause kids sometimes, you know, they're good for a little while and then the timer goes off. That's why when I was with the Red Hawks, that's one of my projects was, Do the playground, get it covered with the netting because they're not watching.
Yep.
And even if they were, they probably couldn't see a slashing line drive coming.
Definitely not.
It's just a great way. And then the parents go, they're fine. Yeah. I can see them from here.
And we had about 7 or 8 inflatables out there last week. We had a mechanical bull. That kids love that, you know. So, I mean, it's just the races are thriving. It's we're crushing the numbers that we had last year. So us taking it over, we were a little nervous. I'm not going to lie to you, but it's turning out to be pretty awesome.
I had this question in advance.
Yeah.
You have a chief agriculture officer and a dedicated ag education center.
Yes,
how do you balance of honoring the deep farm roots of the Red River Valley and creating experiences that excite kids and families who might not live on a farm?
Yep. So great question. So we do, we have a chief ag officer, Emily Grunewald. She's amazing. In fact, we're actually trying to hire a full-time ag educator. That's our goal. And how we do that, we, our goal again is to keep the fair, fresh, new, exciting, the rides, the entertainment, all the things we do, all the free acts that we have. We do that to get people to the fair. After that, the goal is, hey, we got you. Now, let's go learn about agriculture. Let's go to the barns. Let's put you through the Ag Education Center. Learn something about agriculture. And I might sound like I'm beating a dead horse here, but West Fargo, Fargo, these kids do not have an ag education program mm-hmm. at all. And I'm going to keep yelling that until something's changed about that. But we are the de facto answer to that. And we are always continuously upgrading the Ag Education Center. I think we had close to 6,000 kids this year go through the Ag Center on field trips. Every third grader from West Fargo went through that program. Every single school in the county is going through this program. So it's if you're a third grader, you're going through this program. It's great. The goal now is how do we, okay, great, we had the third graders come once. Let's keep coming. Let's keep getting them in fourth, fifth grade. If we have an ag educator, we can ramp this up even more, even further.
Yeah. To me, the Red River Valley Fair is the official start of summer.
It is.
So when someone walks onto the fairgrounds for the first time in the days, you know, the first day of July there, what's one small sound, feeling, smell that instantly tells them it's summer in the Red River Valley?
You know, for me, honestly, it's the first thing I liked. What gets me excited, and it's just so cliche, but my job is to literally put smiles on people's faces. Mm-hmm. And to me, for me personally, when I see people walking through the gate with a smile and the kids looking and just pulling their parents in different directions because they heard the sound of the drop tower, people up on the drop tower, screams from the rides, the thrill side of it, the popping of the balloons from the games, the smell of the corn dogs, and don't get me started on the deep fried Oreos and all the wonderful smells that come from the fair, the sounds, the smiles, the atmosphere in itself. There's a feeling that you can't explain. There's a reason that fairs have been around since before America. You know, people love fairs. It's where the community gathers. You know, Minnesota, they're saying, is the great Minnesota get together. If I could, you know, steal the trademark, I would take it.
Yeah.
For North Dakota.
And just a notice to people, there's no races tonight due to the rain.
That's right.
So I want to make sure everybody knows about that. No races tonight, Friday night. We kind of touched on this a little bit with one really interesting story, but the fair has been a tradition since 1904. What is the one thing that the original organizers would be most proud of if they walked onto the fairgrounds this year? And what might surprise them the most? I'm trying to give you questions you maybe don't get every day.
You know what? That is an amazing question. I'll tell you what they'd be proud of. They'll be proud of the fact that the traditions are still there. Mm-hmm. There's 4-H'ers in the barns. There's generational farm families. But I think what would shock them the most is our livestock enrichment program. The fact that you've got kids raising animals at the fair because they can't raise them at their house.
Yep.
52 kids this year doing that.
Wow, that's amazing.
We had 4 in 2022. Our lives, we're the only fair in the country that's doing that. We're trailblazers in our own right. And I will tell you right now, that and alone would blow their mind. The other thing would blow their mind, this stage would set them back like crazy. They go, holy cow, I never thought we'd be this level.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to give away two tickets to, again, to Trace Adkins for the July 11th concert.
Okay.
And so how about we do the 9th caller this time, Ronnie?
Sounds fine to me.
We go to break. So, hey, thanks to Cody Cashman for being on with us today. I know you got a lot of things going on
these days.
So Tim Flacco sitting in for Jay and the Jay Thomas Show, and we'll give some tickets away not only now but in the next half hour or two before the show ends.
Call now for Trace Adkins, 701-293-9000, caller 9.
Thank you, everybody. We'll be right back after this break.
4:37, the Custom Truck and Auto Shine time check here on the Jay Thomas Show. And we've made a couple of people very happy with some tickets to the Red River Valley Fair already. And I'm understanding we'll have one more pair of tickets to give away yet today before the show ends. A reminder, too, that PetraServe USA helps America fuel better. All kinds of snacks, coffees, drinks. I had a what they call, I think, Tim, a big hamburger there yesterday at the West Fargo store right at the end of Cheyenne Street. And it was a big hamburger. So you can get great food and much more at PetroServe USA. There's one near you.
Good tip, because I am definitely been in the mood for a hamburger lately.
Yeah, I think you might like that one. Homemade buns and all that. Yep. And they've got, you can usually find their menu at PetroServe USA on their website. Mm-hmm. But they've got home-cooked meals at so many of the locations, and they vary from day of the week to day of the week. So.
Well, again, if you want to give us a call, call us in the studio line at 701-293-9000. Thanks to Thor Buildings, or you can email us. Thanks to Teresa over at Red Wing Shoes at studio at WDAYradionow.com. And if you're one of the 12 people that don't have my cell phone number, it's 701-367-5954. But we're not taking the calls on that phone for the tickets we'll be giving away, because we'll be giving away tickets to the show on July 11th featuring Trace Adkins, Chase Matthews, and Uncle Cracker.
Oh, so that's the final pair of tickets?
That will be the final pair.
All right.
And then we're going to save a pair of those, as well as the Stone Temple Pilot rock night for Ronnie on the coffee club, if you want to do it Monday morning or whatever you want to do it, so you can give
Sounds great. Sounds
that way
great.
That you'll be a hero to a couple people.
I thought that was a nice lead in to your guest. I can buy myself flowers.
I love that. Very good. You get 10 points. You perked this right up there, Ronnie. So we have Sarah. Yeah, Sandra Vegan, who's with the River Valley Garden Tour. It's almost quitting time on Friday.
I know. I understand. No worries.
So they're in their fourth year of the tour. They have it over 2 days. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. First, what organization leads this effort?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on here today, Tom. No, I mean Tim.
I know. I deserve that.
I'm just kidding.
I have an Uncle Tom, literally an Uncle Tom.
Score is 1-1 on the Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, there you go.
The tour is put on by Master Gardeners, so it's all done by volunteers. Mm-hmm. The Cass County Master Gardeners are the group that puts it on, and it's awesome. We couldn't do it without all the volunteers.
So what days are the... or is the tour this year?
Yeah. So this year, the tour is going to be on July 15th, which is a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And that's going to go from 1 to 7. And then on Thursday, the 16th, it goes from 9 to 3 p.m. So kind of for people, you know, to be able to work around their work schedules.
Yeah.
It's a self-paced tour. So you can go in any order that you'd like.
And you can go both days. You can do half of it on one day and half the other.
Yes.
And how many sites are you talking about, you know, kind of the general area where they're at?
Yeah, this year we're going to be focusing on the north end. So the farthest north place is up in Riley's Acres. That's Kim's Plant Ranch. And there's going to be 8 different stops on this tour. Her place, I'm kind of excited because she's going to have 25,000 Lysianthus.
Wow.
And if you know anything about that flower, it is gorgeous. It looks like roses. She's just got thousands, and she's going to have, another thing that you can do is cut your own flowers and take home a bouquet. So
nice.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
So that'll be like 24,934.
Yeah, something like that, give or take.
Yeah. So it's on the north side, Riley's Acres, North Fargo, North Moorhead.
Nope.
No, nothing in Moorhead. It's all on the North Dakota side.
Yep.
Okay. So what can the listeners expect if they're going on this tour?
Yeah, I think you can expect to go on a tour where you're inspired to see gardens. And it's flowers and it's vegetable gardens. It's kind of really such a variety. Everybody's backyards on these tours are so different and unique. Some of them have more of like the nostalgia. There's others like yours, Tim, that's going to be very creative and artistic. So they're all different in their own way. And I think every year, at least myself, and I like to think I know a lot as a master gardener, but every year I learn about new flowers, or new ways to grow vegetables.
Okay.
So they're very inspiring.
Yeah. And I'm excited to, you know, to see the different places because, you know, you learn a little bit from everybody and who knows, you know, what you'll encounter, because it's safe to say that they're going to have some stuff that you've probably never seen before, like you talked about.
No.
Like, I think I looked at, like, I have, like, 80 different kind of flowers.
Wow.
That I have.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
Unless once they all die or get hailed on. Yeah,
hey, knock on wood. I think Baker's is going to be open.
Mm-hmm.
Up to that day, so you could always still buy
replace,
more
flowers. Yeah.
They're the
I've you know, between them and Cheyenne Gardens, they've done well with me this year.
Oh, I know, right? It's hard. I tell myself, I'm like, I'm going to just run over to Baker's really quick and pick up something. And I'm like, I'm not getting a cart. If I can't carry it, I don't need it.
Oh, okay.
Next thing you know, somebody offers me a cart. And next thing you know, I'm going home with a cart full again.
And, there's worse things you could do. Spend your money on to go home with, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the things I'm excited about, and I, you know, if I can, you know, because I am one of the spots in the tour, so this is maybe self-serving, received kind of official word yesterday. It looks like I'll have NDSU has miniature horses, and the intent will be that during part of that, we can't have them there the full day because they don't, you know, it's too stressful on the horses. Yeah. So they're like a two-hour bites of sorts. But we'll kind of dress them up with flowers, and you know, that's kind of one of those. Oh, they agreed to it. Okay, now what do we do?
Where are we going to put these?
Yeah, it's like, no, I have a spot for them. It's an 8x8 pen. And
I love it.
Erica Berg was out yesterday looking at it, and she goes, yeah, okay. You know, we'll have to make sure we have, because they want, you know, they have a volunteer there to kind of watch to make sure that they have water and whatever else they need to take care of.
But what a fun feature and something that you're never going to see that again. Like, this is a one and only kind of thing. And so that's what I love, is everybody's gardens are unique.
Yep.
This is going to be just such a nice thing for, like, families. We don't charge for children that want to come along on the tour. So it's like, bring your children. This would be amazing. Can you imagine how excited they're going to be to see that?
Yeah, it'd be a little so-called Instagrammable, you know, Christmas card type picture.
Yeah.
Yep. And so excited about that. Also, we have the artist Rando, who will be there the entire time, painting on site.
Wow.
And then he'll sell some of those paintings on, you know, if people want to buy them while they're there. I mean, he's just such a gift in the community.
He really is, you know, and he's one of those artists. I've been able to watch him paint, and he is one of those artists where he can come up with an idea or vision and create like a masterpiece, like right there in front of you. He's not quite, who's that one guy? Bob Ross?
Right.
I don't know if he'll be doing happy clouds, but definitely happy flowers.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he comes up with. He was out there to my house the other day, and I showed him the spot where, and he goes, "Yep, that'll work. Yeah. That'll be great."
Oh, I
then he was
it.
Like, "Oh, I'm blocking these flowers." I go, "Sir, no matter where you set up, you're blocking flowers, so don't worry about that because there's, you know, it's kind of designed that no matter where you look, there's something, or something unique."
Yeah,
and we have as part of mine a scavenger hunt because I got all these little different things for everything from a birdhouses, which was designed after the Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego, where the movie Some Like It Hot was shot with Marilyn Monroe. And I plan to have Edelweiss, knock on wood. And I bought a guitar case and a guitar that I'll put them in. And
awesome.
To display that, you know, from a tip of the hat to the old Sound of Music movie. And
kind of that cinematic,
something,
like Hollywood,
you know, everywhere.
Feel.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I bought a whole bunch of umbrellas, which I plan to put over certain areas, like when you come in, so that you kind of walk under this floating sea of umbrellas.
It's kind of like I've seen pictures of things like that before in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's just like, that's going to look beautiful.
Yeah. And I hope it works out. I hope the weather's fine. But, you know, I'm in North Fargo. We're, you know, quite well protected from the wind. So, hey, Ronnie, if we're gonna do these so I don't forget, okay? Is that okay with
you? Yeah.
We're going to take the ninth caller. Two tickets for you and a guest, not Ronnie and a guest, but our caller and a guest, to see Trace Adkins, Chase Matthews, and Uncle Cracker. So we'll take the ninth caller.
Yeah, so if you didn't win the first time, now's your chance.
And again, they'll be at the front desk starting Monday. So again, we're here with Sandra Vegan, Red River Valley Garden Tour. You got any information on some of the other sites and what they might see? You talked about up north.
Yeah, you know, there's one house that I love that's got a lot of raised garden, and it's all vegetables.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's going to be something that's going to appeal to people, too, that maybe don't have as many flowers but want to learn a little bit more about vegetables. that'll be a wonderful place to stop. Hope Blooms is the nonprofit that the funds that we raise will be donated to.
Yep.
And so they will also be on the stop, and they have raised beds and different things too for flowers. So you'll be able to see kind of like, besides the ones that get donated to them, how are they able to give away so many flowers?
So why don't you explain to listeners like what the Hope Blooms does? Because, I mean, like 3 years ago, I didn't know what to do. And then a friend of mine, Sharon Miller, was on the board, and then now Lee Schwartz is on the board. So, and we used them after my parents had passed away. We, you know, there was flowers that were like, what are we going to do with these?
It is. It's something where, you know, Hope Blooms is a wonderful nonprofit here in Fargo, and they repurpose flowers that maybe have been donated from somebody's yard. Maybe it's something from like a funeral, a wedding, where, you know, there's still a lot of life left in that and can bring a lot of joy to people.
Right.
And it's a shame just to see that be thrown away. And so Hope Blooms takes those flowers, and then they make little bouquets out of them, and they take them around the community, and they give them to people that are maybe lonely, going through a tough time. Maybe it's people that are in a retirement home or a nursing home that just need to be cheered up and kind of reminded of, you know, a lot of the residents in these nursing homes used to have gardens. They remember what that's like, and seeing that simple flower or bouquet can really make somebody's day. Yeah. And so we're happy to be supporting them this year with the money that's raised.
That's great. I love that organization.
Yes.
And we do have a winner. It's Jim A., so you don't need to call anymore. I see there's some callers that are lined up, but Jim A., so Monday after the store opens here, so to speak, and before Ronnie's show starts, you can stop by and pick those up if you want anytime during the regular office hours. So, what else do you have in terms of some of the other stops? You know, those are interesting stops. How many stops total are you planning?
There are 8 stops total.
8 stops.
Yep. There's another one that's up north on 8th Street up there, and it is just this cute, like, lovely garden, and it's got all these little, like, art installations by local artists.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah, right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. She's got a gorgeous patio garden. And then what I loved is there was this island flower bed that actually had this gorgeous pagoda dogwood in it. And it was just very unique in how she had it. And then she had this cute little shed kind of off to the side. It's going to be, her house is going to be really interesting. It was on the tour back in the early 2000s with the Seroptimist Club.
Okay.
And she said it's only gotten better and bigger since then, like most of us, you know, how they kind of progress over years and you swear you're going to stop. And then next thing you know, you're adding one more garden.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And hers, I think, is kind of a prime example of that. And her husband was involved in a lot of the things that were built around the yard. And unfortunately, he has passed. But it brings her a lot of joy to look back and be able to see kind of like how it advanced and how they both did this together.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be so cool for them to say, you know, to kind of, you know, touch with, you know, with the past and all the work they put into it. Because sometimes it's nice to show people what, you know, you're spending hundreds of hours on sometimes getting prepared. And, you know, my fear is like, okay, you know, some of these things I have are going to be done blooming by then. Right now, because I was trying to time my amaryllises because they take between 8 and 10 weeks before they kind of bloom. And they're like, oh, all of a sudden in the last 4 days, they're like, oh, you guys are going a little fast. Slow down.
I know. So what do you do? It's like, could you put like a
It's like kids.
Bag,
so I, you know,
can you put a bag over
cover
them or something
up from
like
the
that?
Sun or,
hey, Tim, is that amaryllis by morning?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So that's
good one.
Yeah. So we keep it covered up the rest of the day because it's by morning. And I feed it coffee and make it smoke cigars so that it stunts their growth.
Ah, I see.
Gosh, that's too funny.
But, you know, that's one of the worries is like,
I know.
Frustrating. And, you know, my peonies will be done by then, but that's just the way it goes.
It is.
So,
and people,
they understand.
The plants will still be there. People understand. Yeah. They're going to be able to look at that and they can know what that was. Sometimes people even have pictures of
trying to do that, you know, put it on the ground or something somewhere near that to show, hey, this is what it looked like.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. After this, though, you're going to get a lot of people just driving by. Every year they're going to come by your house.
Yeah.
They'll start stalking you, but it'll just be, they're just flowers.
A lot of people know where I live, good or bad. Yeah.
You already have that.
Yeah, because, Yeah, because I have a 1929 house, you know, so it's 97 years old. And
wow, so much character.
Yeah.
And trees?
Yeah, some trees. Yeah. You know, I'm on my second cycle in some of them.
Okay.
Just because I had some monster elm trees.
Yes.
Because we have, in North Fargo, where I live, have, you know, that beautiful canopy in some areas there. And
cool.
But now I'm on the kind of the working to make sure that the next
again, given it,
100 years are good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 100 years.
Because the one I counted had 86 rings on it.
Wow, that's amazing. So, just think of everything it's seen and all the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there's another one, too, that's going to be up on 3rd Street North that has this huge picket, white picket fence, climbing roses. It's gorgeous. But if you want tickets, they are, you can purchase them right now online. Mm-hmm. You can go to RRV. So it's rrvgardentour.com.
Okay.
$17 for the tickets. You receive by email the map, like on the 6th.
Okay.
We'll send that out to everybody who's purchased. And then you can also buy tickets the day of on the website, too, or at any of the stops.
But you get a little discount if you buy them in advance.
You do. Yep. You save $3. And like I said, you can bring your children. It's a great way to get kids involved also,
mm-hmm,
and enjoy gardening and seeing yards and being inspired.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it, and I'm praying for good weather.
We're excited.
We had meteorologist Dean Wysocki come on, and he was saying it's going to be good and dry. It's going to be a little warm, which is fine with me because I'm covered. So,
we'll take it.
Thanks to Sandra for being on today
and talking
about the Red River Valley Garden Tour, which is coming up the middle of July. It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, where can you get those tickets again, Sandra, one more time?
You can Google Red River Garden, Red River Valley Garden Tour, and then the website is rrvgardentour.com. And there are t-shirts. You can purchase t-shirts right now until Tuesday. So you
can pre-order. You're swagging one today.
I know,
pretty,
right?
It's pretty good. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yes, it's very, like they're like very that. Comfy.
Is it a daylily?
That is a...
I don't know.
I don't know if it's a cornflower. Daisy.
And thanks, everybody. I'm Tim Flacco, sitting in for J&J Thomas Show. Jay should be back on Monday. And have a great, safe weekend. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there and stepfathers and fathers-to-be.